Welcome back to SEC Smoke. It's your host, Jalen Posey. And today I have a friend with me, a rival, if you will, and that is Stephen Ngadi, or better known as Fanatic Perspective on Twitter. He's here to join me. He's here to go in the smoke today. So, Stephen, welcome to the show, brother. How are you?
Good, JP. Thanks for having me on. Hook 'em to those watching out there, whether you love, hate. Yeah, I know that all eyes are always on Texas, so good to have me on today. Excited to talk ball with you, brother.
It'll be a fun time. It'll be a fun time, and you and I have had a love-hate relationship, if you say that. Obviously, brothers and friends, but at the end of the day, you're a Longhorn, and I'm a Sooner, and everybody knows what comes with that and what comes with the territory. So let's just get right into it, man. We have this season coming up. Both teams, I feel like, have a high expectation, right, for what we want to see happen. Texas, they want to see, obviously, championships, SEC championship, competing for a national championship. Oklahoma wants to see the same thing, especially after tasting the playoffs last year and having success after, you know, an abysmal 2024 season. That being said, I want to get into playoff predictions, or rather a season prediction, if you will, for both teams. So I'm going to start off by giving what I think Texas is going to do, and I want you to give what you think OU is going to do, and we'll start there. Sound good?
Bet.
I know that Texas is they're as talented as I think you've been, right, in a long time. You got a lot of things going for you. Sark has seemingly been the guy for you. He's done a good job. However, I still don't think that he's done what probably still should happen at Texas. I think, yes, he's made the playoff, but I feel like he's had the talent to go further and to go deeper than we've seen. I think last year was a failure for you guys. And I think starting the season number one and then, you know, finishing not making the playoff and Arch Manning not being the Heisman contender that everybody said he was going to be is a thing. And to be honest with you, I still don't believe in Arch, brother. I don't see the consistency. And I think that he is a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he sucks. I'm not on that train. I do think he's not as good as people say he is. And I think it's mainly because of his inconsistency. We've seen him make throws. We've seen him make – like, I remember back to Red River last year. He made some throws that I was like, okay, hey, we could work with that. But I also feel like we saw games like Florida, like Mississippi State, like Kentucky, where, you know, the fan base is calling for his head. They're like, what's going on? And this is not the Arch we were promised. And I'm interested to see what you think about the spring game, because all I know is he threw four picks. And I know it's a spring game, and you can't read too much into that, but I don't want my quarterback throwing four picks in any kind of game, let alone a game against a defense, you know, he sees all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Where are you reading or seeing he threw four picks in the spring
game? That's what the smoke was, man. Is that am I wrong in that?
He hasn't practiced or really done anything publicly because he was injured most of the spring. We had a spring scrimmage showcase because we didn't have a whole bunch of healthy players, so it was really mostly just KJ Lacy, Dia Bell. Arches didn't really do much more than 7-on-7. During the spring. I mean, the last time we've really seen Arch publicly was the Michigan bowl game, right? Where we all know what he did in that game and how he looked in that game. So I can't go on these. I don't know if y'all are playing NCAA 2026 and getting mixed up in that. But that, you know, reports of that, he literally was in a – he practiced, I think, only half the spring, essentially. So I can't give you that one, brother. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I guess if you want to say it's highly exaggerated, you can say that. But bottom line is, like you asked me, I don't think I've seen enough for me to believe he's the guy to get Texas over the hump. And I think you
Over the
have.
hump being winning an SEC championship and competing for a national
That's
championship, over the
correct.
hump being a Heisman Trophy.
I,
I'm trying to understand what the expectations are here, right?
getting to an SEC championship and winning one and competing for a national championship like that was an expectation, right? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
No,
Last year, you guys were
100%.
number
Last
one.
year, okay, so last year we were the number one ranked team in the country, right? And you deemed last year a successful season for OU, correct?
I did.
So both teams, at the end of the day, both teams finished 10-3. The difference was y'all made the playoffs. The difference being Texas had number one expectations to, if you're number one, you're thinking you're going to compete for the national championship. You should be the best team in the country, right? Clearly, those expectations were off base, but do I necessarily put all of that solely on the plate of Arch Manning as to the reason we did not fulfill those expectations and go further? I may put that on the plate for a loss or two, but I can't do that for the situation that we did end up in last year. I actually completely disagree with you, JP, in terms of your point made earlier regarding consistency. I thought we saw nothing but consistency from Arch, Mississippi State game moving forward. So you brought up the Kentucky game. The Kentucky game was not a good football game for Arch. Texas still figured out a way to win that football game. The Florida game, I'll get to that one later. But Mississippi State moving forward, I mean, that was a 17-point comeback where he played out of this world until the concussion in overtime. We're able to win that football game. And then on from there, I mean, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the country without a doubt the rest of the season. So I the consistency element, the only game we lost essentially after that was the Georgia game. And that Georgia game, Arch Manning throws a touchdown pass to Ryan Wingo where they're right there in the ball game. It's a one possession game. Kirby Smart then kicks the famous onside kick, because I agree with your take from your last show. I think Kirby is the best coach in the SEC. At least consistency year over year, that's who I would pick. He makes a play. The next time Arch Manning comes back on the football field in that game after throwing a touchdown, Texas is down 17 points with like 8 minutes left in the football game and on the road. So I'm not putting that loss on him. No way. And then moving forward, Texas played outstanding. Was able to beat Texas A&M, who was undefeated at the time, and number two, number three ranked team in the country, came into Austin 11-0 at that time. He handled his business, was the best player on the football field that night, and then went into Michigan and was outstanding in that bowl game effort versus several NFL guys that were playing on that Michigan defense. So I have all the faith and belief in Arch Manning. He is right on track to do what I think he can do in 2026.
Again, I think we disagree. I
We
understand
do.
where you're. We do, and I understand where you're coming from as a Texas fan. You got to believe in your quarterback, bro. Just like I know you're gonna tell me you don't believe in John Mateer, and I'm gonna tell you that I do, and we'll get into that. But let's just get into your guys' season really quick. I think here's who you're losing to. I think you're losing to Ohio State. I don't think you're beating them. I know they're coming to Austin, but I just believe they're a more talented team than you. To be honest with you. I believe that you are losing to Tennessee in Knoxville. It's going to be your first time in Knoxville, and I think being there last year myself, it's a very difficult place to win. I mean, we clawed our way out of there, and mainly, honestly, because of our Luke Groza award-winning kicker who hit 350-yard field goals in that game, and obviously our defense too. So I think that's going to be a loss for you guys because it's just a tough place to get a win. For anybody. And then I don't think that you're gonna beat us this year. I don't think that you're getting three in a row, bro. I don't think you're getting three in a row. And
Are y'all
I
gonna
know you're
score a
gonna be
touchdown
like,
this
oh yeah.
year? I'm hoping you're scoring a touchdown this year, right,
Okay,
JP? We're
here we
finally gonna get
go.
over
Here we go.
the goal line, right?
Listen, I we've had the worst quarterback luck in the last three out of the last 4 years, okay? I will give you 2024 because yes, like did we have a healthy quarterback? We did, but it was a true freshman who'd never played in that type of environment before in Michael Hawkins Jr. Didn't know what he was doing, couldn't figure it out. Okay. 2022, right? I don't even want to talk about that year, how bad that was. But 2022, Davis Bevel's the guy. Like we DG's hurt. He's not even able to play. And so we don't even have a competent quarterback. And we all know that quarterback is the most important position.
Which is why you should have a next man up, correct? At a competent Power 4 program, you should have a QB too, ready to go.
I understand what you're saying, but what you need to understand is what we had coming into 2022. That was the year after Lincoln left and gutted our program. And so we got DG, right? And behind him, we had guys that just had to fill in. That was what it was that year. Like, we weren't going to get in a super competent, in my opinion, QB2. And the other guy we had was going to be a true freshman, and we didn't want to throw him in. That's just the reality. Jackson Arnold, at that time, we didn't want to throw him. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. The 2022 situation is hard for me to give you that, though, even still, because Dylan Gabriel, even coming in, had injury. There were he was never the most, you know, just he's going to stay healthy court type of quarterback. He wasn't. And so you preparing for those situations, you know, failure to plan is a plan to fail. I can't give you that. Just saying, you know, we've all had to play our backup quarterbacks multiple times. We had to play Arch multiple times the year before he started. I just told you, Matthew Caldwell came in and won us a football game on the road in overtime versus Mississippi State. Guys got a next man up mentality. Now, if you get hit with the injury bug and it's ravaged across the offensive line and all these different positions, but that situation, it was like, oh, our quarterback's gone, and now you're running stuff with your tight end and all this type of stuff. I mean, come on, man. It's not high school ball. Like, this is the SEC.
I understand that. And I'll be honest with you. I hated the game plan too, but – to me, the reality is we still did not have a competent guy at QB. Even if you want to blame the coaches, whatever you want to say, it's just the truth. In 2024, we weren't healthy at all. We had the freshmen out there, but our wide receiver room was decimated. Offensive line room was decimated. Offense was poo-poo, right? And then this last year, John Mateer's coming back. He's clearly not 100%. As excited as we were that we were maybe getting him back, he wasn't 100%, and I think it showed in that game. And the game was really – when I say neck and neck, I don't mean like 50-50. I mean like more like 65-35, maybe 60-40. And, like, we had chances even going into the fourth. And then, you know, once you guys scored and then with the special teams touchdown, that ended it, right? And that's when you saw 23-6. As opposed to like, oh, it was just a dominating win by Texas per se. Like, that's not how the game felt, in my opinion. Now, if we get a healthy John Mateer and a healthy OU, I think you guys are going to have your hands full. And I think it's going to be like the Red Rivers that we saw from 2017 to 2021 that were uber competitive and that, you know, it's kind of 50-50. You just got to pick. And I don't believe that you guys are going to win 3 years in a row. I think we have the game marked, and I think we know what it means. We know what it means to be a Red River. We know how to, you know, at the end of the day, say Smitty's telling the boys, even though he's not there this year, he's going to be a consultant, but I'm telling you, he's telling the boys, hey, we can't lose to Texas 3 years in a row, guys. It can't happen. It cannot happen as an Oklahoma Sooner.
And all I'm hearing, JP, is we can't lose 3 years in a row because this can't happen. I'm not hearing confidence about the actual matchup and whatnot. And I hear you in terms of the game being closer than the 23-6 score. Yes, Texas ended up winning that game last year by 3 scores. However, some of those things where I think a lot of people in the OU fan base are so quick to write off so many different things with the John Mateer injury excuse. And it was a factual thing. And he came back within, 3 weeks of the surgery or whenever he had it to play. My whole thing was the interception that was thrown to Manny Muhammad in the end zone going in overtime. How's that on an injury? He's making a decision, a conscious decision, to throw a awful pass and basically forfeit points. Y'all were in scoring territory right there. To get 3 points, I don't think anybody had scored a touchdown yet at that point in the game. Like, I just started seeing the blending of, well, he didn't play his best football because he's injured, and it's almost covering for mistakes and things that happened in the game that were player decision, right? That has, to me, that has nothing to do with your injury. Making a terrible decision like that with 2 seconds left on the clock, when you know damn well you should eat the football, take the 3 points. We're in a defensive type of game. Live to fight another day. And that is part of that player's profile. He is a very maverick type of quarterback, which is a blessing and a curse, in my opinion, when it comes to John Mateer.
You're not wrong in pieces of what you said. I'm just going to push back, though, on that just because you have an injury, it wouldn't affect decisions you would make mentally. And I know you're saying it's part of his profile. I get that. But when you're not practicing, right,
mm-hmm.
It's going to throw off timing. It's going to throw off what you're doing. And if I'm not mistaken, it was, I believe, Deion Burks that was on that route. And I don't believe he ran the correct route. I'm pretty sure I need to go back and maybe rewatch
sure,
that.
Sure. And if I'm but wrong
I,
on
I'm,
that.
I'm then... almost positive that it was also a route that was run wrong by Deion Burks. And so it made John Mateer look worse. I understand what it looked like on broadcast and everything like that. However, even with that being said, you know as well as I do, especially at that level, when you are hurt, you're taken out of your rhythm. You're taking out of what you're doing day to day. You're taking out of what you're doing. Again, you can sit with the team in meetings. You can watch all the film you want. But if you're not out there and you're not able to confidently rip the ball, right, for weeks at a time, like just because you start practicing the week of, right, and we know that you're probably our best shot, and you start practicing the week of, that doesn't mean you're going to get out there and be able to be as sharp as you want to be. And so I just detest the narrative that an injury wouldn't affect the player's mental makeup per se. So I disagree with that.
I mean, if a bad decision is a bad decision to me. And I also will push back because decision-making has been part of his scouting report of questionable at times because he is a risk taker. And I mean, there were interceptions that were thrown in games before the injury that were also questionable or mechanical issues that he's had because we're conflating multiple things. Now, he's a gamer. When you look at what he did for run game for you guys and essentially being one of the best dual threat effective quarterbacks, he was clutch for you guys in big early non-con game, Auburn game, all these things. But there are times, I mean, this is going back to his Washington State film. Mechanically, where he's going to overthrow a seam pass and a safety going to be right there. Like, I've seen it multiple times with him, injured and not injured. So there are things that he does. And I think after that injury, it just seemed very convenient all the way until the playoffs, even in the playoff games where it's like, oh, well, that was, you know, he's injured. You know, it's just, you know, he's dealing with the hand injury. And it's like, well, how do we really assess this player if there's this blanket excuse that just seems to hang over him? I'm not moving off of that. Sure. And I think that's where questions need to be answered for those of us looking at him in 2026 for y'all to get to where you want to go.
Sure. That's fair. It's a fair assessment. I just believe that going back to, you know, what we're talking about with the schedules.
Sure.
I think that John Mateer, healthy and playing the way he was playing early in the season, presents a different problem for Texas. And in that, we also didn't have a run game last year or the year before. And we now have who a lot of people are considering one of, if not the best running back coach in all college football in Dylan McCullough. And we have a stable of backs that, if healthy, I think are going to present some nightmares for a lot of SEC teams. A revamped tight end room with the Hall of Fame tight end coach, who I understand has not coached at the tight end level before. However, he's a Hall of Fame tight end. He's been a high school state championship winning coach. Obviously, he knows a little bit about coaching. obviously he knows a little bit about playing the tight end position. So I'm willing to bet that he'll be able to coach tight ends pretty dang well. And honestly, it can't get much worse than what we've seen from OU the last couple of years. I'm just going to be honest with you, from either of those position groups, running back or tight end. So you have revamp rooms, you have mm-hmm. a healthy quarterback, and you know what our defense is. You know what our defense is able to do. And mm-hmm. I believe early on in the game, we were making Arch's life, you know, living hell. I think Sark is a great offensive, you know, coach. He's one of the best. We know that he's able to find some things. He's able to have Arch calm down. Arch also, to his credit, I will be honest, as much as that pains me, I will be honest, to his credit, he made a lot of great plays down the stretch in the Red River rivalry game. Ones that if he doesn't make, the game shifts. I fully believe that. And so he did show a little bit of something to me in the Red River rivalry in terms of like just his makeup, which I think, again, you just had to know that him being a Manning, regardless of you strip away. Because for me, really what it comes down to, Steven, is that I just feel like he's been overhyped. I feel like, okay, he's number one. Okay, he's going to go, you know, number one in draft. He's going to be Heisman. If none of that was there, I'd be okay with being like, okay, like, hey, give the kid time to grow. But everybody has crowned him, and I just don't think he's there yet. I don't think he's there yet. We've seen flashes, but I haven't seen the overall consistency, right, over a full year. I know you talked about the last half of year, and that's great. That's fine.
I have a great stat for you if we want to talk about, like, and of the returning Power Four quarterbacks, there's only two quarterbacks that threw for over 3,500 yards and had over 35 combined touchdowns. Two people. One of them is Arch Manning. The other one's Darian Mensah, who's now transferred from Duke to Miami. That's the list of returning quarterbacks, period. Trinidad would be on the list, but we know he missed a bunch. Austin Simmons started beginning of the year, so his numbers get clipped. But that's the list. Two players that threw for over 3,500 passing yards and had over 35 combined touchdowns. Arch Manning had 37 combined touchdowns in 2025. And I mean, I'm sorry, but like, let's look at his losses last year, if you don't mind. I mean,
let's do it.
The Ohio State game was his first road start. Because you talked about, hey, he's not there yet. But if last year was the year where he has a below average offensive line for the most part, he also had lack of running game, just like you talked about. His receivers had one of the highest drop rates in the country. Texas finished, I believe, second worst in the country in penalties. So he has all these factors, this mess going on around him. And he still leads us to 10 wins, 3 losses. The first loss to Ohio at Ohio State, road loss, first college football start for Arch Manning on the road. He loses the game 14-7. JP, the second, fourth, and fifth defensive players drafted in 2025 were all the leaders of that Ohio State defense. So right off the bat, he's taking an AP, you know, final, first game, not even week two, right? He's playing them straight up week one. At the Shoe, Arvell Reese, Sonny Styles, my guy Caleb Downs, right? They were stacked at every level of the defense. The corners, both of them corners went to the draft. The nickel, Lorenzo Styles went to the draft. Ran what, 4.28 at the combine. That defense was insanely stacked, right? And still, we had a chance with the ball to tie the football game, the last possession of the game. All of this he's experiencing all of this for the first time. The second loss of the season was the Florida game. That's the loss. That's the controversial loss. That's the loss that kept us out of participating in the college football playoff.
I'm glad you admitted that. I'm glad that you
admitted that. Necessarily agree with it, but I know what they decided as to. Look, we can go back and forth about all these things, but that Florida team had one of the highest blue chip rates in the country. That Florida team coming into the season was a top 10 team by ranking before the season started. Were they a bad football team and all the stuff and the coaches getting fired. Yeah, they ultimately were a bad football team. But that same bad football team had several players drafted as well that the NFL had no problem taking. We know that the physical talent that they had on that roster was very, very good. They still, John Summerall is still inheriting several talented players on that roster. That Florida team had Georgia on the ropes down to the last minute of that game versus Kirby Smart. And that was a game where we struggled at the line of scrimmage. Arch Manning struggled without a doubt that first half of that game. Another road environment, his second road game, by the way, in the swamp. If you go watch the fourth quarter of that Florida game, though, Arch Manning was insanely good and kind of not only brought us back in the game, but when you look at a lot of the clips and tape that people are using to justify him potentially being the number one overall pick, they're using a lot of film from the Florida game because they're like, wait a second, we're watching this guy operate with no pocket, making dime throws down the field. He's rerouting out of the pocket and throwing a ball 40, 50 yards, dime of a post to Ryan Wingo in the back of the end zone. He's getting hit literally every snap. He's running and scrambling for 10, 12, 20-yard gains. He's making everything he can do with the situation that he's in. That's the second loss. And then the third loss we talked about earlier, which was at Georgia. And I just told you, he had the ball. We score. And he don't get the ball back until they're down by 17 points in almost an impossible situation again. So that's his, that's what, that those are the losses. He's never lost at home. He's never lost on Texas soil, period. And I mean, if you're telling me your losses are at Ohio State, at the Shoe, at the Swamp in Florida, and you know, between the hedges in Georgia, with 15 career starts, I'd say he's on his way to growing and maturing as to the quarterback that we want him to be.
Let's get into the Oklahoma schedule. I know we've been talking a lot about Texas's
Yes,
schedule,
we have.
but let's talk about what you believe about Oklahoma's schedule.
So I do think that you guys are going to Michigan, right, to return that home and home. I think that you guys will actually go in and beat Michigan. I love them going to Kyle Whittingham and you know, making that transition at head coach post the Sherrod Moore stuff and everything that we expect from, you know, another young quarterback in Bryce Underwood. But I think you guys are actually going to go up there to Ann Arbor and win that football game, your big non-conference win, where I have some of the friction coming with you guys is actually back-to-back games at the Georgia game. I think Georgia's a flat out better football team than OU right now. I think they have a better coaching situation. I personally trust Gunnar Stockton more than I trust John Mateer in a game like that. And I think defensively, excuse me, they're right there with y'all. I have Georgia beating OU. And then I think Texas, for football reasons, is better than OU. And I think Texas will beat OU a third year in a row in Dallas. I like the matchup versus OU. I like the improvements that we've made. I believe Cam Coleman can win consistently against your corners, against that defense. I believe that Arch Manning will be the best quarterback on the field. I believe Texas now has more explosiveness in their running game. Texas running game is giving y'all problems back-to-back year, and we really haven't had a running game like that the last couple years. And I think that there's some things that Steve Sarkisian does against Brent Venables since they've gone head-to-head against each other, since Venables has been at OU, that have consistently shown in every game, including the game that we lost in 2023, where we still had over 500 yards of total offense. So for all of those reasons, I do think that Texas will defeat OU. Here's the good news if you're listening, if you're an OU fan. I don't think you're going to lose again after us. I don't. I think you're going to avenge the loss you had last year versus Ole Miss. And I think you're going to have a tough game at Missouri because that's a rivalry game and there's going to be a lot of emotion. But for the same reasons earlier, I think you guys are much more of a better football team and matchup versus Drink. I'm worried about Drink and some of the stuff he's got going on up there, especially with Ahmad Hardy and whether or not what type of football player he'll ultimately be. So I think OU's going to finish with a big, win against Missouri. And I think you guys are going to make the college football playoff back-to-back years. I have you guys going 10-2, but I think you're going to lose back-to-back games versus Georgia and Texas.
I think those are respectable takes. I obviously you know how I feel about the Texas
Oh,
game.
yeah.
I disagree with them. We talked about that. The Georgia game, I also have us losing to Georgia. Georgia, I believe, is one of the best football teams in the nation. I don't believe that. I'm not going to say we're there yet until I see it, and I think that that's fair. Even you have to be objective as a fan. I'm not going to be delusional. I think that Georgia is the better football team at the moment
They had a young
until.
defense, and they were in the college football playoff last year. They returned so many guys that
Until
went.
we go to Athens and win, if we go to Athens and win, and Travis and I talked about this on the JP and Trav show last week, if we go to Georgia and win, and then we do what I believe we're going to do in the Cotton Bowl, if we're 5-0 after you guys, we're the number one team in the country because of the wins that we would have under our belt.
Yeah, you
Michigan,
have Michigan.
Georgia, and Texas. And those are three marquee wins immediately, right off the bat. Obviously, we can talk about what happens beyond that and sustaining it. But that's what I believe. Now, getting back to what you said, kind of on the tilt of the Red River, or excuse me, the Red River. I truly believe that as much as Sark has given BV problems for a few years, I think that BV had a much better game plan last year, and I think that show. I mean, because really, you guys scored 16 points.
Yeah, we had the punt return
Right?
for a
The
touchdown.
punt return for a touchdown was 23. So you scored 16 points, which holding Sark to 16 points is pretty good, if I'm not mistaken. And so I have full confidence in Brent Venables and the defense I believe he's built here. 2022, we talked about first year. 2023, second year, we did enough, right? At the end of the day. 2024 was just a cluster. I mean that when you don't have a when you don't
Is
have an
that to throw
offense,
the tape
when you don't have an offense, come on, bro. When you don't have an offense that you can even be confident in, it almost destroys everything you're gonna do defensively. It puts you in bad positions. When you have turnovers, you're constantly in negative field position. That's not a winning product for a defense. And even last year, we were good enough that even sometimes when we got put in negative positions, we still got out of it. But there were plenty of times when we played complimentary football and we were in good positions on defense and we were able to get some turnovers. We were able to, flip the field, different things like that. And so I think Brent Venables has the defense to the point where they're rolling. I disagree with you on the Cam Coleman piece. And the only reason is because I think he got Courtland Guillory at times. Right against Auburn last year, but that was a freshman, Courtland Guillory, freshman All-American, by the way. He's going to be coming back with a vengeance, and I truly believe that's a future first-round pick. And so I think that that's something to watch. Do I think that he's going to win at will? I don't. Do I think that he'll win some? I do, because Cam Coleman's very good, and I understand that. I believe he's a future first-round draft pick himself, but I don't think he's just going to win anytime. And even if they were to switch, Eli Bowen is another guy I think is going to be a high round draft pick and has proven himself. So I don't think they're just going to be able to
It's
win
not
him.
shade towards your corners, though, when I'm saying that. Where I'm also coming from is I believe the scheme that Cam Coleman is now getting to play in versus the scheme under Freeze, where there was not a lot of route nuance to what Auburn was doing. Let's keep it a buck, okay? It was nine routes, and then after that, very, very simple type of stuff. I do think that Cam Coleman will also be aided by scheme. Now, matchup will be interesting because Texas will have multiple weapons on the field. We have a second team All-SEC receiver returning that will be opposite of Cam Coleman and Ryan Wingo, on top of, plethora of other guys. So won't but my point on Cam Coleman is I do think he can win his matchups enough with the combination of those guys to really put stress on Oklahoma and dictate some of the chess pieces. The other thing I will push back on you real quick with the Sark BV thing, you talked about the 16 point only 16 points scored last year. it was also a game flow and understanding what type of game we were both in. In my opinion, that's why I'm critical of John Mateer's decision making at the end of the first half, because we were in a defensive slugfest. So it was critical for the offenses to A, protect the football in that game. Sark was not going to be overly aggressive. Our offense at that point wasn't confident. We didn't really find our identity offensively until Mississippi, like later in the season. At that point in the season, we were not a confident offense. I was surprised that we ran the ball as well as we did. We hit on some of the run stuff that we had hit on in previous years, like literally the same plays, but we had not hit on that stuff until we played you guys. But in terms of putting together drives to score points, it was more of a thing where we just had to be really good situationally. And then once we got a lead, understanding how well our defense was performing against your offense, it was like, hey, just don't screw this thing up. Don't get in the way. And then special teams comes in and blows the game open. Rest is history. But I have to push back there in terms of that, just because of the situation as a coordinator. I thought that was one of the smarter games Sark had last year of saying, nah, I don't need to be super aggressive right now. I'm going to chill on my play calling and trying to really attack this defense.
Steven, let's talk about Texas and what you believe Texas is going to do this year. We talked about, each other's schedules as rivals. I want to hear what you think Texas is going to do, and I'll give you what I think Oklahoma is going to do.
Yeah, so I think Texas is ultimately I've settled at 11-1, and it's going to be almost a controversial opinion, even within the Texas people watching, on where my one is coming from and why. But I wrestled between 10-2 and 12-0. I think this is going to be a very, very good football team. I haven't been the biggest Kool-Aid fan. I see the expression on your
Oh.
face. I know. As tough as the schedule is, but things are set up nicely. I like the matchup versus Ohio State week two in Austin. We have lost what two straight games to them recently versus Ryan Day. But again, the names that I was talking about from a defensive standpoint that were there under Matt Patricia that really gave us fits, that were great players and went in the top 11 of the draft, three players, they're all gone. Ohio State's defense is still going to be very good. They will be formidable offensively with Julian Say and Heisman Trophy finalist, as well as Jeremiah Smith, who a lot of people are going to think he's the best overall football player in the country. However, these are the games that Will Muschamp was brought in for. I didn't love making the move to let go of Pete Kwiatkowski, who was our defensive coordinator over the first 5 years. I thought he was very, very good. I enjoyed the growth of the program defensively under him, but at the end of the season, some of the lack of physicality, some of the lack of aggression, and just where we fell coverage-wise wasn't where it needed to be. Will Muschamp, second stint at Texas, former head coach in waiting at Texas, somebody that helped Georgia win their last two national championships with Kirby Smart, understanding what it takes, scheming against us all these years, all the comments that Kirby has made about our toughness in big games, about the physicality and bringing the fight to the opponent versus, reacting. I think we'll be there in the most positive manner. And then all of the experience gained by Arch Manning in his first 15 starts, big stage. He's used to now being on the big stage. He's used to having those expectations as a Manning. I think he is going to play very, very well against Ohio State. I think it's going to be a very different football game from the game that we played against each other at Ohio State a year ago. Moving into, Tennessee opener. I don't think Tennessee's going to be very good that th this year. I'm really worried about their overall roster. I don't like the fact that they're going to have, I mean, George McIntyre is a big time recruit and talent. We have not seen him perform in a, we talk about the questions that Arch Manning had. All these people have, y'all always have questions for Arch, and then somebody else is brand new coming in that hadn't played at all, and all of a sudden people got faith and be like, hey, that's the team you need to be watching out for. I need to know if Tennessee's going to be good, period. Seriously. Because the Tennessee that y'all saw with Joey Aguilar is that who was a veteran quarterback. That may be a very different version of the Tennessee we may face. I have questions. I'm not saying that they're, I don't know. I have a lot of questions about that roster. Texas, you know, we already talked about OU. I do think we are the first game I had a question was Ole Miss, who is coming to Austin. But it's on site with Pete Golding after his personal comments with Sarkin, the back and forth that started with us and Ole Miss. So I think there's going to be a game where you may probably see the two best quarterbacks in the SEC, Arch versus Trinidad Chambliss. But I do think that we will be able to outlast Ole Miss at home. And then we go to LSU, frenemies with Lane Kiffin, Sam Leavitt. I have us winning because Arch is going to be returning to Louisiana soil at Death Valley, and I have him playing very well down there. And Texas potentially being 11-0 at that point. Can we go undefeated? I think absolutely. I think the same way you said OU is waiting for Texas and has been lurking. I think A&M is too. And this whole A&M thing is going to be interesting because between the three of us, I have y'all beating them, and then I actually have them beating us in my scenario right now because I do think that A&M team is actually really good. That's a team that we beat last year that was 11-0. I still like a lot of their defensive talent. They did suffer a big injury in their spring game at linebacker. That's something to look out for. But their defensive line, their secondary, Marcel Reed coming back. If Elko doesn't get it done this year versus us, especially with the fact, and this is the reason why I'm even saying this, and I'm going to end it here. If Texas is 11-0 at that point, we're probably already in the SEC championship game. And at that point, it's a rivalry game, and yes, it would be important to win, but it's probably more on A&M playing at home. When are you ever going to beat us? It's been like 15 years now, brother. Like, you know what I mean? And I just think that that energy and that built that stadium that night, you know, who knows? So at some point it's gonna happen. At some point it's gonna happen. But I have it happening in a situation where Texas doesn't necessarily get punished for it, finishing the season 11-1.
I like to start talking about Oklahoma now, and just cross-referencing a little bit between what you felt like was going to happen and what I felt like. Obviously, going back to what you said about Texas, I think you know you. I think you a little bit up there, man. You a little bit up there. I understand having confidence in your team, but I gave my opinion on it earlier, so we'll move on to Oklahoma. I believe that Oklahoma is going to go 10-2 this year. I do think that they are going to lose one of their early games, those that gauntlet of Michigan, Georgia, Texas. And I think that that's going to be Georgia. I think Michigan is still in the throes of figuring out who they want to be going against first year. He's a great coach, yes, but they got a lot going on up there. Bryce Underwood is still yet to prove himself, really. And I think that BV will give him problems again. I think it'd be fun to be up here in the big house. I'm gonna go. I think it's gonna be a fun game. I think it's
Go
a game
game,
that
go
OU
to.
wins. Yeah. And then Georgia, I think that's a tough game to go to and beat, you know, the Bulldogs in Athens. That's a tough for anybody. It really is. And I think that while it could be a great game and a good litmus test for us early in the season, I think that that's a national championship contender right off the bat. If we beat them, I feel a lot differently probably about how our season's going to go. If we don't, I'm not necessarily off track. So I really do feel like if we're going to lose a game early, it's going to be Georgia. They're tough. They're tough. They got the probably best coach in college football. They got a great roster. They got a quarterback that's going to be burgeoning as potentially the best in the SEC. And yeah, that's just how I feel about the Bulldogs. Then going into obviously Red River, we talked about a little bit before. I think that Oklahoma is not going to allow Texas to beat them three times in a row. I just can't see it. I can't envision that happening. I am confident that we will have a game plan in place and that Arch will struggle in spurts. I think that he's too good to say that, you know, we'll completely shut him down. But I trust BV to make a game plan to make it difficult for Arch. I do think it'll be back and forth. I don't think we're going to destroy you guys, I'll be honest with you. However, I do think that we're walking back and bringing the golden hat where it belongs after that. I believe that Ole Miss, while Trinidad Chambers is great, and I know they're going to try, you know, we're trying to make this. I hated that Ole Miss was the one that we, you know, got. I wish it would have been Arkansas, personally. I lived in Northwest Arkansas for a time, and the Hogs run their mouths a lot. I can't really stand that. And I just wanted to beat up on them every year. But I digress. I'm interested to see what things look like offensively for Ole Miss. I think Trinidad, again, in and of himself is good. Obviously got Kewon Lacy too. However, we know what Lane provided for them. And while Trinidad can make plays on his own, and I've talked about this, I'm interested to see what their offensive identity is going to be outside of him just making plays. And I think that we'll be able to do enough to beat them. Other than that, I think the other just really difficult games on our schedule will be A&M and Missouri. Beyond that point, obviously we play Florida in that, you know, just depending on how they are, we'll see. But A&M is the other game I have us losing on the schedule.
And so you have A&M, beating you in Norman.
I have A&M beating us in Norman. Yes, I
do. Why?
I think that as much as I'd like to say we have a home advantage, we've shown over the years that we may drop a game at home. And I really believe that Mike Elko is a great coach. I think that they're going to be a tough out. I think that mobile quarterbacks have at times given our defense fits, a la Trinidad Chambers and what he did with Ole Miss last year when they
Marcel
came.
Marcel ain't Trinidad, brother.
I know he's not. I'm not saying he is, but he's dual threat enough. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that we can't beat them. That's not what I'm saying.
I hear you.
I just think, again, when you and you understand this, and you will continue to. Obviously, you guys had a cupcake schedule in the SEC last year, but you know we don't got to talk about that now.
I didn't know there was such a thing, but go ahead.
As we go deeper into the SEC and we get these games that are coming, and you have, you know, weeks in a row of difficult opponent after difficult opponent, like that is just going to wear your team down. And I think if we're going to drop a game at the end of the year, I believe it'd be A&M. I don't agree with anybody that says we're going to lose to Missouri. I think that Drink, like you said, there's some interesting things going on there. I don't really believe in him. I don't believe in what he's doing in Missouri. I also just don't like him. I don't like them. And I'm glad that we beat them last year, because having lost to them 2 years in a row would have just been a disgusting pill to swallow. But, yeah, I think if we're going to drop another game, it's going to be A&M. And I think that I would still be okay with 10-2. I think 11-1 is the ceiling. I think that going undefeated is a tough task. That's why even when you say you guys are going undefeated, I think that's a tough task.
Which is why I said 11-1. I said the ceiling. Yeah. So I'm only one game more on the ceiling, and now I'm out of pocket. That's crazy.
I mean, undefeated is a lot, Stephen. That's
I hear you.
Y'all gonna win a natty. I don't think y'all got a national championship winning team.
Well, I said regular season undefeated. I ain't say nothing about going undefeated in the playoffs. However, okay. Indiana was able to do that last year when a lot of people said we wouldn't see any more undefeated teams in college football.
But Brent Venables, Steven Sarkisian, these are the coaches of our two teams that we love so dearly. Unfortunately, for Sooners fans, Brent Venables is 1-3. Against Steve. However, the ultimate prize that we both believe we want to get to is an SEC championship number one. And ultimate, really, penultimate, right? 1B was SEC championship. 1A is a national championship. So the question is, who's going to get there first? And I believe it's Brent Venables. Obviously, as a Sooners fan, and I think that I can prove that objectively. We really, besides Ryan Day, okay, we haven't seen an offensive-minded coach. Maybe if you want to call Kurt Cignetti, I guess maybe offensive-minded because he, you know, wide receivers coach, whatever. That we really haven't seen an offensive-minded coach winning national championships. Ryan Day's the exception. Everybody else?
Jim Harbaugh.
I mean,
come on now.
Jim more of a CEO.
I know he's not with us in college anymore.
Jim is more of a CEO than he is an offensive. Come on. We know. Let's be honest. Jim more of a CEO, man. You know, we haven't seen a high flying offensive mind. Okay. A la Steve Sarkisian, Lincoln Riley, Lane Kiffin. Okay. Win national championships consistently. They can put up numbers, they can get wins, but can they do it when it matters most? Can they score on the 1 yard line with, yeah. So defensive minded coaches, I believe, have the blueprint. And we've seen that with Kirby. We saw that with Nick Saban. Again, Kurt is probably, he's more CEO. He's more in that frame. I think that the way the Sooners are built, they can have more sustained success at this point than Texas will beyond this year. I think Brent has finally, especially with Jim Nagy in fold, has gotten the blueprint of how to be successful. And I think once we have a competent offense, which you can say all day till you're blue in the face, that's on Brent Venables. Why didn't he do this? And why didn't he do that? Why didn't he do this? I could tell you why till I'm blue in the face as well, but I don't think it's going to change anybody's opinion. It is what it is. Once we have a competent offense, and I believe that we will this year and moving forward, I don't think that there's a lot of teams that can stand in our way. I'm just going to be completely honest with you, because we proved almost solely on the back of our defense last year. We had a top 80 offense. We made the playoffs. So if you give us top 40, top 30, I think we're sustained, you know, or we're set up, excuse me, for success moving forward to win championships, to win national championship. And I just believe, until I see it from Steve Sarkisian, I believe that Brent Venables has the blueprint that we've seen in college football the last decade plus that wins national championships, that wins SEC championships.
So my rebuttal to that, first off against Brent Venables, is the last three head coaches to win a national championship technically were offensive coaches: Kurt Cignetti, Ryan Day, Jim Harbaugh. So essentially you're saying he's on the same level as Kirby Smart and Nick Saban. Because before that, it's Coach O and Dabo. Like that's – and now we're no longer in this era really of college football, right? Like, so you're really saying that he's on the level – of Brent Venables or Brent Venables on the level of Kirby Smart and Saban, right? Like, that is that what we're
it's not what I that's not what I said. What I
but that's the level what I we have seen was, of a defensive coach that wins a national championship, to your point of the type of coaches that win national championships, because the last three are offensive minded coaches. That's all I'm saying. You're on mute. I can't hear you.
You don't think that Brent Venables is to the level defensively that Kirby Smart or Nick Saban is?
I don't. Like, you don't think he could be the coach? I don't think he's the level of head coach.
But I thought we said defensively, though. He
didn't. No, but you're saying when you're saying defensively, I'm hearing that as the mindset of the team and mm-hmm. and the background of the coach, right? But my issue with Brent with you guys in support of Brent Venables is Brent Venables has been a solid. I mean, we were a year away from real pressure being put on him after 2024. Let's not forget that. He still has to prove that he can be consistent, right? I mean, he hasn't, like, Sark, say what you want about Sark. Texas has three consecutive years of winning 10 plus games and has been at least in the Final Four 2 years in a row. That you can't argue. Those are just straight facts. He's been a game away from the national championship 2 years in a row when he had a veteran experienced group and had won games year over year over year. Disappointment or not, Brent Venables, same record as Sark last year, by the way, 10-3. Now you're telling me he's going to be consistent enough as a head coach? Because part of being a head coach is what you're talking about, and I agree with you. Top 40 offense. But one of my biggest complaints when it comes to Brent Venables is, are you marrying the type of offensive scheme to your defense to where you have that marriage of consistency of what you need to do to navigate certain type of games, no matter what type of game you get in? The college football playoff now is so weird that you may get in a game like Ole Miss versus Miami where the game gets elevated and it's a little bit more of an offensive shootout. And then Miami also had to play at A&M where it's like a 10-3 football game. They had to play both of those games in that run. I don't know if Brent Venables is coaching in both of those type of football games on a consistent basis. Whereas Steve Sarkisian, at least, we have seen him advance in the postseason and win these type of games and be very, very close, you know, down to the last possession, last snap, last minute of the game to go and play for a national championship. So that's where I'm arguing in favor of Steve Sarkisian being closer, because I also think he has more of a balance. I trust Will Muschamp more than I trust Ben Arbuckle, straight up. I trust Will Muschamp more than I trust Ben Arbuckle. Because if we're saying that Steve leads the Texas offense and BV still leads the OU defense, and you know your defense is going to be locked in, that's great. I think my offense with Sark and Arch is going to be locked in. Now it comes to the other side of the ball and how they manage those as head coaches and, to your earlier point, as CEOs. And I just think that Sark has shown he is better equipped to manage that. I was very disappointed with how y'all looked in your playoff game at home against Alabama. That was indicative of what I thought I would see from a Brent Venables team in a playoff game. So until I see that shift, I can't give Brent Venables the benefit of the doubt. I still need him to see that he can put a consistent double-digit win product on the field as a head coach at OU year over year over year. I need to see that as well.
I understand that. Where I disagree with you is, I think you're overlooking, yes, I understand as a head coach, Steve has had these things happen for him. I think that personally, there's been a lot more that's been happening at the University of Oklahoma that has worked against Brent Venables than has happened at Texas, especially when you talk about where they started from. Brent is also a year back from Steve in the build, right, and everything like that. I also think, especially when you talk about
year five, though, right? He's going into year five.
This will be going into year five. That's correct.
Okay.
I think that 2022 to me and 2024 are aberrations, and the reason I say that is because 2022, he was dealing with a very heavily depleted roster, especially in terms of depth. I understand that they had DG, Eric Gray, Marvin Mims. Like, I'm not saying we didn't have talent. We're still OU, right? I'm not acting like we're Mississippi State.
I know I gave you a hard time earlier about the QB thing, but I'm willing to give you a pass for 2022. Sark ultimately got a pass for 2021.
Sure.
Fair is fair.
Sure.
So 2023 forward, let's talk.
Okay. So there was that, right? No depth. 2024. The offense was completely decimated by injuries, and Jackson Arnold was paper. And we, as much as, again, you as a Texas fan have seen your fair share of five-star quarterbacks that you thought was going to be, you know. And
I was told Jackson was him, dog.
That's why y'all had a decade of ineptitude, is because you brought in quarterback after quarterback.
And that's why Steve Sarkisian is here now, brother. We talk about now.
But regardless, Jackson Arnold just did not prove to be the guy that could handle things when it was everything around him was going wrong. And I will give him that there was the whole wide receiver room was injured. Offensive line was injured, couldn't figure out the combinations. There was a lot going on, couldn't run the football. And then it just really exacerbated his worst qualities. It really did. And so we had the worst offensive year probably in 30 or 40 years at Oklahoma, right? Like historically bad offensive year in 2024. You can't plan for the injuries. You don't know what's going to happen with that. And so that derailed the season and made us 6-7. And so I truly believe BV would have been burgeoning three straight 10-win seasons because obviously 2023. And yes, unfortunately, the one thing I won't give BV a pass on is that we should have been in the playoff that year. We just should have. People are, you know, we're not happy about that. But at the end of the day, it's still a 10-win season and we beat Texas. Okay. Happy about that. 2023 or 2024, I just explained that. And then last year, you get 10 wins, even though your quarterback is pretty decently hampered, especially with his thumb, the majority of the year. You have a great defense that you've built, that you have built, and that, you know, we got 10 wins basically on the back of them and got to the playoff. Unfortunately, we just folded in the playoff, and I like it. That hurts me to even talk about that game because we're up 17-0, and I'm thinking the nail's in the coffin. And what happened after that is just inexplicable. Just mistake after mistake after mistake. Felt like it was too big for us at the moment. However, I do feel like it was a learning process for that team, and I do think that given the chance again this year, which I believe we'll have the chance again, we will notch our first playoff win. And I do want to qualify something for any Texas fan, including you, that has something to say about that, because because I will not accept that.
JP's not going to accept.
I will not accept that. We're talking about, you're talking about playoff wins from, you know, a first round and a quarterfinal. I'm not accepting that, bro, because it has to be, you can't put it on the same level as being in the Final Four and winning. That should be where we're qualifying from, because when we made the playoffs, it was four teams. We were in the semifinal.
We made a four team as well. We did both.
I know you made it. I'm not talking about making it. I'm talking about winning. And so everybody's like, oh, Texas has playoff wins. They have two more playoff wins than OU. Okay, you're right. OU never had a chance to have a first-round playoff win besides this past year. I'll give that to you. But they never had a chance. And, you know, I wish we could have played Arizona State. I wish we could have played, you know, Clemson when they weren't really Clemson. Like that's for me what it is. Like we didn't play the best version of Alabama this year. I'll be honest with you, and I understand any rebuttal that people would have about that. But the other teams we played, historic Alabama, historic LSU, I mean, Deshaun Watson, Clemson. The Georgia game was one of the best games of all time, right? And we just ended up being on the losing end of that, unfortunately, in an all-time historic game. But that's just, I'm just not going to take that from Texas.
My brother in Christ, I'm just not talking take. About pre-COVID ball here. That's crazy. It's if we want to get a little bit more recent, I'm convinced that Cam Scottaboo would have stomped a mud hole in Bama, no doubt about it. The way, I mean, look what he was doing in the NFL before he got injured. That boy was we were dealing with the Tasmanian devil. We didn't even realize it at the time. Okay.
He was good. I
know Sam Levitt's now at LSU. People pinning all their hopes and dreams on him. He getting paid crazy NIL money. So, hey, you know, a win's a win. It's a play. Discounting playoff wins is crazy, but you know what?
Here's what I'll say. I'm not discounting them. I need you to hear me. Okay, hear me clear. I'm not discounting them. I'm just saying don't come to OU fans being like, haha, two playoff wins in your face when, you know, had you made the playoff, had you guys been competent, let me be respectful. had you guys been where you should have been in the early 2020s and in the, you know, mid 2010s, then maybe you would have had a chance to prove your mettle, but you didn't, and you still haven't won a semifinal game, just like we haven't won, never won a semifinal game either. So in my mind, until this past year, we were on the same level. Now, you can say what you want because we lost the first-round game, but I still feel like playing Alabama, even the Alabama team that we played this year, is still different than Arizona State. and the Clemson team that you played. But that's just me. I might be wrong.
Didn't Alabama lose by like 70 in the Rose Bowl to
the national champions? I mean, they was dismantling everybody, bro. Come on, you can't do that.
Oh man,
they was dismantling everybody, Steven.
You know, the Miami game was pretty good though. They played Miami very well. That was a really good national championship. Good physical phone booth football. I loved it.
So obviously you believe Sark is going to be the first to win SEC and national championship. I believe BV is going to be the first to win SEC and national championship. Last thing that I will ask you before we head out of here, brother.
Yes.
When do you believe that would even be? When do you believe that Sark would win his first one? I believe that BV would win his first one. I think we have a realistic shot at winning the SEC championship this year. I'm not ready to say that we're a national championship contender. I have to see a little bit more. But I do believe that we could at least position ourselves this year to be in the SEC championship game. And if we get in the game, I believe that we could win it in a game. So I do believe even as soon as this year, we could see the SEC championship happening. I think that in the next 3 years, I could see BV winning a national championship with OU.
I think the way that we are set up and, you know, you've talked about on previous shows, the investment that Texas makes. I mean, we are in a national championship mindset now in terms of that's the goal. We did not make ourselves the number one ranked team in the country coming into last season. That was voted on by the people that cover this sport and all of the folks out there. And then if you even look at where we've been ranked in the coaches poll last few years, that's how people feel about the expectation based upon the roster and everything that Sark has put together. So I would say in likely Arch Manning's last season at Texas, the SEC championship is a big goal for us. Sark has been very vocal this offseason about winning the SEC, more than I've ever heard him before publicly. We know that there's luck required, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Things got to go your way once you get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. From an injury perspective, both of us have talked about injuries, especially, you know, on the offensive and defensive lines, how physical these games get. We're talking about NFL schedule type games at that point, 15, 16, potentially 17 games to win a national championship. That's a lot of football outright at a high level. But winning the SEC, I think, is a big time goal. I'm completely there with you in terms of the expectations you have. I expect Texas. And I do think I will say this, it will be a disappointment. And this is just for me on Sark's record. If Arch Manning leaves this program and he doesn't have either SEC championship or a national championship, I think that would be a disappointment based upon where he came in. I am totally fine if all of last year, still winning 10 games, by the way, still being a team that beat multiple top 10, top 25 teams, if that was the year to reset, grow, and develop. Now, with getting, you don't go and get a Cam Coleman. You don't go and pay for what we've paid for on the offensive line, marrying that with a Trevor Goosby. Texas going into the offseason, right? If after this season, if we do early 2027 mocks, Texas is going to have potentially 4 kids ranked inside the top 10, top 15 picks. Between Colin Simmons, Arch Manning, Trevor Goosby, and Cam Coleman. They may all be at the top of their position groups. So there's expectations. You can't come in there and be, you know, 9-3, 8-4 and have the type of draft picks that I mentioned with Ohio State, like, right, Arvell Reese, Stiles, and Downs. But those guys were at least national champions at some point in their careers. So those are the type of expectations if you have that type of talent on your roster, regardless of how Texas fans feel. Those are the expectations for Texas. Texas is going to start the season, whether anybody likes it or not, they're going to start the season ranked in the top 5 at minimum. So you got to act as such, especially when you didn't make the college football playoff last year.
I think that's a pretty fair take on your part, man. I agree. I think the expectations are and should be high for your roster that you have. And the quarterback that you guys believe that you have, I know it's going to be a hot take. I said before the season started. I don't know at the present moment of how I feel about Arch. I don't know that I would have him in the first round. I think I'd have him in early rounds, second or third, but I don't know that I would have him as a first round pick. I certainly wouldn't have him go number one. Now he could prove me wrong as the season goes on, but that's where I'm at. And I think ultimately, if he's who you guys think he is, and your roster is what you think it is, then we should see you guys in the SEC championship. We should see you guys compete for a national championship. I can say that objectively as an Oklahoma fan. I like when you guys are good, because then when you guys are good and we beat you, then, you know, it's good for us and vice versa. Like, I know that you guys, let's be honest, I know that you guys have loved the 49-0. I know that you've loved, you know, the, what was it, 34-3. I know you've loved that, but I know truly as a competitor, it's not better when we're down or when we're injured or don't have our quarterback. Like, yeah, sure, it's fun to gloat online, but I think deep down, as true, like in true Red River fashion, it's the best when both teams are ranked very highly and it's a very good game. And I think that could happen this year. Like, I think there's a chance if you guys beat Ohio State, we take care of business in Michigan and Georgia, you could 100%. Potentially be talking about number one, number two Red River at that point in time.
I think it's important for college football, JP. I do. I think it's important for college football. We're in a weird place in this sport. I'm just being keeping a buck with you. We're in a weird place. We're in a place of where we've had a lot of transition in a very short period of time. And keeping the things that matter and keeping the main thing, right? I mean, we both talked about A&M. I think when all of these teams are good, I think when these non-conference opponents, I think if Michigan is good, if Ohio State is good, and these wins matter, it's great for the sport. But at the end of the day, we can only control what's on our side and play who's lined up in front of us. So, you know, regardless of who's out there, if we beat you, we beat you. If we don't, we don't. But I think it's good for the sport too. I completely agree. I think it's good for the sport when all these teams are healthy and good football teams.
Agreed. Well, brother, thank you so much for coming on to SEC Smoke today. Hope you enjoyed your time. And we'll definitely be catching up soon, definitely in October. We'll see, you know, what happens, who's talking about what, because it's always smoke between us. You know that.
It wouldn't be anything else. It wouldn't be right if there wasn't, man. I love the Red River fight, the bias and all that, but it was great talking ball with you, man. Thanks for having me on. And come catch me on Fanatic Perspective to hear some Texas spin over there.
Yes, please go check his stuff out. He's great at what he does. You know, great dude for sure. And thanks for coming on, brother. Next time, make sure you guys stay tuned. Subscribe, hit that subscribe button for OU Insider. Make sure you check out all our content. As always, it's no bias. It's just smoke. We'll see you guys next time.